Come on, welcome to BC. So glad if you're sitting next to somebody, give them a high five, please. Come on, give them a high five. Say, pumped, you are here. Pumped, you are here. Come on. Now turn to your second choice that's right next to you and give them a high five. Say, you're my second choice. Woo! Amen. We're so blessed to be here this morning. So blessed to be with this church. And I just continually love what we're doing. And love seeing so many people out on a Sunday morning. And it's in the middle of summer, man. And I know that people are leaving your campgrounds and your time away to come to church on a Sunday morning in the rain. No fun being in the campground in the rain anyways. But you're here, and we are so appreciative of you being here. And, man, this morning we get into this message in regards to an attitude of thankfulness. Please watch this, man. When you look at what it means to live simply, and we've talked about what Paul meant in Philippians 4, I've had it all, I've had nothing, but I have learned. I've learned what it means to be content. And he lays it all on the line. For I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And it's referenced to every season of life. I can walk in contentment because Christ is in my life. Now we looked at what Paul wrote in 1 Timothy 6:6, and he talked about godliness with contentment. You walk in a place that godliness is great gain when attached to contentment. And you understand what that means, that conduct matters. And we looked at the three words of covetous and envious and jealous, and we looked at how that ties into greed. And man, just some amazing stuff in this series. And I love this, man. I love the opportunity every week to come before you and really deposit something in your hearts from not my word, man. This is God's word. It is eternal. It is forever. And it is alive. And it is powerful. And we get the privilege to dive into this thing every Sunday and walk out going, yeah, that's what the word of God says, that I can walk in a place of contentment, because contentment brings freedom and contentment brings peace and contentment brings a level of joy. And to understand all of that together, one who is content means you're not discontent. It means you're satisfied. And a part of this whole series is I want your inner person to be, I'm good. I'm good. Yeah, but what about, honestly, man, I'm okay inside. I'm good. I'm content. I'm satisfied. And then I think just studying and reading and praying and looking at the scripture, I think that the road that leads to true contentment is an attitude of thanksgiving. It's an attitude of thanksgiving. Let me ask you a question. Do you believe that you're a thankful person? And then let me ask the people who know you if they think you're a thankful person. Isn't it funny? We all think we're good. We all think, yeah, I'm thankful. Yeah, I'm kind. Yeah, I'm nice. We all think that at times, right? And we should, if we are. But we always try to think the best of us. But the real test is if we talk to the people who know us. We talk to the people around us. We talk to the people in our inner circle. We go to your job and interview the people that are on your job, that you're just Sean on the job. What do you like as Sean on the job in a police uniform compared to Sean in church? Because that's where the rubber meets the road, man. And I think when we get into this morning, I'm hoping that this is where we really come to a place to understand what is it to have a heart that is just grateful, that is just thankful. Thankful for obviously Christ and salvation, thankful for your spouse, thankful for your children at times, thankful for, thankful for your job. And I try to teach my kids, listen, be thankful for your job so much so that you actually work like you're thankful for your job. Wouldn't that be nice if your employee saw something in you that you were so grateful that they hired you, that 25 years in, you're still working like you're thankful that they hired you 25 years ago? I think that's where we're at in scripture, that we should walk in a sense. What is it to have an attitude of being thankful? I think Christians should be the best employees on the planet, because you understand what it is in that servant-slave type relationship to one who is your boss, and really saying, I am working for you, and I understand that that concept, but the reality is I'm really working for the glory of God and he deserves my absolute best, which you're the benefactor of that because you get my best because I want him to have my best, and therefore I'm gonna be the greatest employee for you in the history of this company. Wouldn't that be absolutely amazing for Christians to show up at work and be thankful and work like you're thankful? Because remember in the interview, there was maybe 10 or 15 or 5 other people that went for that interview and they saw something of value in you and they chose you over the rest. They didn't have to, but they hired you, didn't have to. They could have hired somebody else, but isn't it amazing? Something happens down the road. We all of a sudden look to our company and say, well, what have you done for me lately? Somehow we've lost that idea of what it is to be content and satisfied. And the road that gets us there is to maintain a heart of thankfulness. So when I was full-time at OEMPD, man, I wanted to go in, and I did. I went into work with just the joy of the Lord in a sense of the joy of the Lord in catching as many bad guys as possible. Whoop, they intertwined, man. It was a beautiful thing. I'm going to arrest you in Jesus' name. I'm going to tackle you. I'm going to run you down, and I'll fight you if you want to in Jesus' name. To the best of Christ and to represent OPD well. Like, get on with it. Let's go. Because I remembered how much I wanted that job. And I remembered they picked me because they saw something in me over how many other guys and girls who went for that position, that one position that was open. I never forgot that. You didn't have to hire me, but you did. And I want you to always be grateful that you hired me. Again, that's, we got to get into some scripture here, but I want to open this morning and set the stage, man, and set the table of what is it that you're really thankful for? Because the opposite of that is what are you taking for granted? What is it, the things in your life that you're just like, well, what have you done for me lately? What are the things or even the people or the spouse or wherever you're at? What are those people or those things that you began to cross a line of what have you done for me lately? Or you cross a line of taking things and people for granted and you lost the idea of what it is to be content and satisfied, and then all of a sudden you become the complainer. You become the one that when you start walking towards people, they're like, oh, nuts. Something else is wrong with them. Like, there's just a complaint coming. It's just like, do I have a complaint department on my forehead? Like, what is happening right now with this? Or do you honestly walk into a place and you're grateful? Watch this. Come on. Colossians 1, we're going to start right here in Colossians 1. We're probably going to stick right in Colossians. Colossians 1, 2, 3, and 4. We're going to read the whole book. Just kidding. Come on. We'll start in verse 9. What do you say? Colossians 1, 9. Father, help us in this. God, this is your word. This is truth. God, I just want to deposit something. God, we have the ability to walk in this place this morning so pumped and so juiced and so excited to know that we can walk out with a mindset that's rearranged and a heart of what it really means to be content and to live simply, God, and to have a life that is free, that really brings freedom and love and joy and a peace. Speak to us today in Jesus' name. Come on, look at this. Colossians 1, verse 9. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. I love that. You may be filled. When's the last time you asked God and that you would pray to be filled with the knowledge of his will? God, I don't want it to be my will. I want it to be your will. Let your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. God, I need the knowledge of your will. What is your will? And all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Verse 10, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. You know this is I try to pray this several times during the week for myself and for my family and for this church. You've heard me say that many, many times. I love this passage of scripture. This is where my Nana just saw something special in me as a child, and she will begin for all my life, not even knowing it, she would cover me in this verse, knowing before anyone else that God had a plan for my life as a baby. Verse 11 says this, strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. Look at what you can pray. God, I need to be strengthened with power. No, it says actually, I want to be strengthened with all power. I love how God, by his Spirit, begins to write things down to make an exclamation point, not just power, but all power. God, I want to be strengthened with all power according to the level of my might. No, it says according to his might. What happens when you realize the authority that you can tap into, that it's not my might in which I function, but I can walk in all power according to his, and I love the word glorious, majestic might. Watch this now. Strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. For the attaining, watch this, for gaining or to attain, to grab hold of, all steadfastness, patience. Man, when you're talking about being content, and you're talking about a life that just, we're living simply in our life, that we're just really coming to a place going, man, God, I'm so grateful. I'm thankful for what I have. I'm thankful for my spouse. I'm thankful for my kids. I'm thankful for my job. I'm just in a great place within my spirit, because there's just this attitude of thankfulness just comes from me. And God, I get, and what happens in that, watch this, that you would be steadfast and patient. Thankful people, content people are patient. Yes, I'm praying for the new job. Yes, I'm praying, man, God, I would love an increase. God, I thank you. But there's patience involved with those who are content. The ones who are discontent, watch us now, are impatient people. God, I asked you for it, and I want it now because I'm not happy right now. I need more right now. God, that is an impatient person. And it says here that we're called to be steadfast and patient. Watch this now. Joyously giving thanks to the Father. Joyously giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. For he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. Watch this, church. Watch this. You come to this place to begin to cry this out. God, I want to walk in a place of being steadfast. God, I want to walk in a place of being steady. God, I want to walk in a place of being firm. God, I want to walk in a place. I'm going to walk in a place in my relationship with you, God, that I have become immovable. And God, in that, I want to be patient. I want to trust you. I want to wait on you, God. And watch this, joyously, with all sense of joy, joyously giving thanks to the Father. What happens, church, when day after day after day you come to a place where it is your first priority, man, it is your first thing in the morning to say, God, I joyously come today to give you thanks, for I'm going to be steadfast. I'm going to be immovable. God, I'm going to set my feet. I'm going to fix my eyes on you. God, I'm going to walk in patience today because I know that I've asked, and I'm just going to trust God for it. I'm going to believe God for it, but I'm going to be patient in it, and I am joyously going to give thanks. Because you rescued me, I am saved. No matter what area of life is taking place in my world right now, this is what I know. If I have asked Christ Jesus into my life and I've repented from my sin and I have believed that Jesus is the way, the truth, and life, no matter what is going on in my life, that is one thing that I can always be thankful for, because that is an unchanging event in my life, is my salvation, which is sound and secure. And in that, I can joyously, in any season of life, I can joyously give thanks to the Father. Because he has rescued me from the domain of darkness and transferred me into the kingdom of his beloved Son. Now listen, listen, listen. So the area number one, you come to a place, no matter what season of life, I can be content in a sense of being thankful that I am saved. I have Christ in my life. And man, if my last breath is today, man, absent from this body is to be home with the Lord, and then I can joyously and give thanks. Come on, watch this. Colossians 2 says this. Having been firmly rooted, being built up in him, established in your faith. Watch this, watch this. Circle these three, highlight these three. Being firmly rooted, that means roots have gone deep, which brings stability, right? Being built up in him and established in your faith. Being rooted, built up, and established. I love this. Come on, can I ask you, where is the level of your faith? Where is our growth pattern in him? How much are we diving into the word outside of Sunday morning at 10, 11 a.m. when you come together to gather here in this community where you know we're going to get in the word every single week, where you know we're going to dive in, but how much other than that can you come to a place and say, man, I have studied this word. I love this word. I've eaten this word. I have consumed this word. It's a part of me. So I can come to a place that I'm firmly rooted, I'm being built up, and I'm established in my faith. Watch the anchor to this verse. Watch what it says. Just as you were instructed and overflowing with gratitude. So watch this, man. Look at the two connected here. What happens when you really come to a place to say, I'm firmly rooted, I'm built up in him, I'm established. And because of all of that, because I've dove into this, because I have Christ in my life, man, where is that overflow? Where is that abundance of gratitude? Are you a thankful person by nature? Does your spouse say, man, you just overflow with gratitude? Man, it just, can I just ask you this? Is your thankfulness from just a natural overflow? Like when you see a well bubbling up and it's just the overflow of the water, it looks like it's just easy. It's not difficult. But when the water is low, it just seems like it has to struggle and push it out. Man, come on, watch this. Watch this. When it talks about overflow, it's talking about that abundance. Are you in Christ naturally a thankful person where it just oozes out of you and it's just natural? Or does it take so much to get a thank you out of you? Does it take so much to go to your boss and say, you know what? 25 years ago, you hired me. And I'm so thankful that you did. Thank you for bringing me into your company. Thank you for bringing me. And you just, does your boss know you're thankful? Do your parents, teenagers, do they know that you're thankful? You have no idea what your parents do for you financially. You have no idea what it takes to be a mom or dad until you're a mom or a dad. You ain't got a clue. Unless you just opened your eyes for one day, you would see how much your parents do for you. Are you thankful for that, or do you take them for granted? Because contentment, being satisfied in life, means I need to overflow. If I know my position in him and I know my identity is in him, then there should just be something bubble up within me that I overflow with gratitude. Man, I am thankful. And please hear me, man. You hear this so often. I love this church and I am thankful. And I'm honored to be a pastor here in this place. It is an honor and it is a privilege to serve this community. I love it. I love it. And I thank you that you come every week. I'm hoping you come back next week because I love you. And I thank God that you're in this place. I pray that you're here. I pray that God draw out the right people that need to be here. Man, my heart just overflows with gratitude for what God is doing here and the people that he chooses to bring into this place. Come on, look at this. Turn to Colossians 3, please. And there's times that if you're the opposite of being grateful, you dangerously walk a line of being a taker. Thankful people are givers. When you overflow with thankfulness, your heart is to be able to give. But when you're in the camp of, well, what have you done for me lately? And you forget all the good. You're in that momentary deal. Well, what have you done for me lately? You all of a sudden go into the camp of being a taker. And I love this. Colossians 3 says this, verse 15, and let the peace of Christ. I love how when you begin to study scripture and you're diving into the word of God, you see words that seem to be connected in verses. Like when we're talking about being content, the word peace seems to show up. Content people have a peace about them. Content people aren't discontented. They're not always looking for more, never satisfied. But there is, and again, man, this is a part of the whole premise of this whole series is I'm telling you, this year, I want people to walk in peace. Even in the midst of a chaotic circumstance, I want there to be a very real Holy Spirit peace that bubbles up within you, that you're like, I'm good, I'm okay, I'm all right. There is this supernatural peace that comes because honestly, I'm content. And you come to this place, I love this, watch this, and the peace of Christ will rule in your heart. That means it's the rule here, it means the arbitrator. You can always tell where you really are in your heart is the level of peace that you have. That's the arbitrator. That's the judge, so to speak. If you're going through something and the judge says, man, your heart is a mess, you have no peace, you're walking in chaos, then the arbitrator is saying something's a little off balance because we actually should be people of peace. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. Here it is, and be thankful. And be thankful. And I love Colossians, is written to the local church. Paul's writing this to the local church. And when he references one body, guess what? He's talking about the body of Christ. And he's writing this to the local church that is a piece of the body of Christ as a whole. And I love how he puts in there the importance, watch this, the importance of the local church. And you were called in one body, and be thankful. And let the word of Christ. Come on, church, how much do you spend time in the word of Christ? If there's any, and I hate to say this, but it's my generation that we're in, and then it's your generation that you are in, and I think it reigns true for any period of time, but we can say it today as any other day, that we need the word of God as much today as any other time period in history. As any other time period in history, and I hope that they said this 100 years ago, how important the Word of God is. And I hope, if the Lord willing, if the Lord doesn't return anytime soon, that 100 years from now, they're saying in this moment is the moment that we need to be so into the Word of God for our generation. Listen. Can I just say this? And if you've been in this generation, for the one that's currently coming up, I think this is a generation coming up behind us that is has a real attitude of you owe me something. And can I tell you that is so concerning, because we are raising a bunch of spoiled brats who think that we owe them something. Instead of what it means to work hard and what it means to earn what you have and to be so thankful, to be so grateful for what you got. And I think you learn that even through the amazing work of Scripture, to understand what it means to be thankful and to be satisfied and to be content. Man, I want you in the Word of God. I beg you, man, go over every verse that I cover and make sure that I'm on target, please. Make sure that I am preaching this. Make sure that what you hear is right and true and from God's word. Study it yourself and say, okay, now I can align myself. Listen, I listen to the bald guy. Man, I see what he says, but I want to dive in myself to make sure that it lines up. I beg of you to do that. And I want you to walk in a sense, to understand how important the Word of God is now, here. Listen, you can get amazing messages online, and we're so thankful to be able to put our messages online. For those who are not able to make it, for those who were a part of BC, had to move away, we love being online. But there's nothing like opening these pages and digging in yourself. There's nothing like finding a verse and highlighting and saying, oh, God, put that in my heart, put that in my spirit. It's alive, it's truth. I need to consume this. Church, that's on you, that you would come to a place to let the Word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Well, when we were singing this morning, and we have a worship team that makes it so easy, to be honest with you, not difficult to be able to come in this place and sing. I mean, we do. We have best worship team on the planet. I'll take them anywhere I preach. I'd love to. I will. They are so good. Listen, you come in this place, please, it's not difficult to join in a song. But were you singing this morning with thankfulness in your heart to God? Were you just amazed that I am saved? And God, you're present in this place. And God, I'm drawing near to you, and you're drawing near to me. And God, I'm amazed by you. With this heart of thanksgiving. Isn't it amazing that so many times, man, I don't have time for this, but what happens when you walk into your time of prayer? What happens when you walk into your time before God and it's one-on-one? Is it always asking to take? God, I need this, and God, if you could do this, and God, if you could bless here, and God, if you... Or is it a sense of, God, I'm just amazed by you. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for what you've given me. Thank you for my wife. Thank you for my husband. Thank you for my children. Thank you for my friends. Thank you for my relationships. Thank you for my church. Thank you for the bald guy. Woo! That's me, by the way. Yeah, listen, I'm playing. But you come to a place, well, what is your prayer like? For whatever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Wives, be subject to your husbands. I just added that. Not part of the message. That's just add on. Here we go. Come on, chapter 4, verse 2. Watch this, and we close with this. Devote yourselves to prayer. Devote yourselves to prayer. Devote, it means to be devoted, to be persistent, to be steadfast, to persevere. Man, I don't understand sometimes when, and I love my wife, because when someone's going through a difficult time and they'll come to Renee, and she's just so straight. She says, well, have you prayed about it? And their faces look like, well, that was on my list somewhere. What happens that no matter what season of life, why is it that in the most difficult times of life, like, we go to God even last? Well, what happens if we're supposed to persevere through prayer? Come on, pray about it. Come on, pray. And pray again. And pray again. And pray again, and seek his face, and seek his face, and get before him, and pray again. Be devoted to prayer. Be persistent in your prayer. Come on, endure in your prayer. And I love this. Watch what it says. Look at this. Come on, verse 4, or verse 2, chapter 4, verse 2. Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it, with an attitude of thanksgiving. I love that. With an attitude of thanksgiving, being alert in it. Man, be aware of your surroundings. Understand what's going on. Know that we're before a holy God. Know that he leans in. Know that he hears us. You come to this place, that I'm alert in my time of prayer. But my attitude before the creator of the universe, my attitude before my God, Savior, my attitude before my King, my Christ, my Savior, my Lord, my attitude is one of thanksgiving. What happens, church, when you walk in an attitude of thanksgiving when you're before the Lord? What happens, church, when you understand what it means to just to ooze and overflow with gratitude? happen. You all of a sudden, your marriage begins to change. Your children begin to change. Your attitude at work begins to change. Can I just say this? This is real, man. This is truth. Your attitude in life begins to change. You see people that have invested so much in your life. You see them as one man, I'm so grateful and I'm so thankful. You see it to your circle of friends that you're so grateful for, that you're so thankful for. You see it in your husband or your wife that you leave this place. And I believe the word of God is so powerful. We can leave this place now, in a sense, to be different in our homes if we had an attitude of thankfulness. That we would just overflow with gratitude. You would see, watch this, you would see contentment rise to the top. I'm actually thankful for my car. I stopped looking for a new. I'm actually thankful for my wife. Stop looking for a new. No, I'm just kidding. Woo. But what happens, honestly, when you catch the truth of what it is to have a heart that's thankful? Lose the complaining, and you lose the taker mentality, and you lose the what have you done for me lately mentality, and you go to work tomorrow amazed that you have a job, thankful that how many years ago they hired you instead of the other person that they interviewed. Come on, let's just pray. Father, we just, God, we want to be thankful people. We have so much. With nothing, we have everything, God, to be thankful for who you are and what you've done for us. But you've blessed us. So many ways you've blessed us. And God, that we would be a people. Man, I just ask right now in this place that you, if you know that, man, I am a complainer. Man, I know that I am one who always looks to see what I can get. Come on, in this moment, I just say that you would come to a place that, God, it's got to change. God, you can change any heart. God, from this day forward, help me to come to a place to be a thankful person, to look at things differently, to see it through the biblical lens, to see it differently, God. Not my eyes, but your eyes. God, help me to see it through Scripture. God, am I one who overflows with gratitude? Is that me? Does that define me? Do I have an attitude that's just thankful? Or am I the complainer in the room? Or am I the wet blanket all the time? Am I the one who's negative? Am I the one who always looks to get? Never content. Never content. Father, I just ask that we would rearrange ourselves today by your Spirit, God, that you would move in our hearts, God, in our spirits to be thankful people. And God, we'll see a change. That's the best part. God, we'll see a change in our own hearts that we begin to be thankful, and contentment begins to rise to the top. And with that, there's a peace. And with that, with a thankful heart, there's this joy that comes. God, these are the benefactors of what it is to be thankful. Oh, God, help us to see it. Help us to change. In Jesus' name. Come on, amen. Church, right? Come on. Oh, that's good stuff. I love it. Come on, come on. God bless you. Come on, be here next week, BC. Have a blessed week, man. Praying for you guys. Amen.